Sai's Glory, His Divine Story, every Thursday on Morning Glory. Catch the vibe with me, Karuna Munshi, on Radio Sai's Thursday Live on Asia Stream at 9:40 a.m.
Om Shri Sai Ram. Loving salutations at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Shri Satya Sai Baba, the voice, the ears, the heart and soul of Radio Sai, as well as his only goal. Sai Ram, dear listeners, and welcome to Thursday Live. You are tuned to our Asia stream coming to you live from Prashanti Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. My name is Karuna and I will be hosting this segment called Morning Glory. On the sound console is audio engineer Brother Sunil. Thank you for staying with us on this very pleasant Thursday morning here in the ashram. Today is the 13th of June 2013 and the time right now in Prashanti Nilayam is 9:40 a.m. Current weather conditions in Prashanti Nilayam, simply put, are quite heavenly. The temperature right now is very pleasant, minimum 23 degrees Celsius, maximum 29 degrees Celsius. The weather department is calling for some lightning and thunder activity later in the day, and the chance of precipitation is moderate. The sky is overcast, and the breeze, that divine Gideon breeze of Prashanti Nilayam, is blowing away freely. You can't miss the look of comfort on the faces of devotees coming here from hotter parts of India. In North India, for example, the mercury is soaring to the extent that our national capital, New Delhi, is in the grip of a heat wave. And even the valley of Kashmir up in the Himalayas has higher temperatures right now than the divine valley called Prashanti Nilayam. Can you even believe that? And just yesterday, I interviewed some first-timers to Puttaparthi from Uttar Pradesh in North India, and they summed it up best when they said that as they drove into Prashanti Nilayam from the railway station, they felt they were entering heaven. And when they started experiencing the peace and the calm and the cleanliness of our ashram and its discipline, their guess was confirmed that Prashanti Nilayam is heaven on earth. Dear listeners, whichever way you slice or dice it, the fact remains our Prashanti Nilayam simply rocks. We have just completed the summer course for all four campuses of the Sai University here, and our educational institutions are back to action. Our hospitals are busy treating patients with love and care, and of course free of cost, and our ashram is healing and blessing profusely all who come here. With that Prashanti Nilayam wrap-up, here's what's lined up for your listening pleasure on Morning Glory today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour is the concluding part of the conversation with Sai University alumnus Mr. Balram Chandran. But before that, Radio Sai is pleased to bring you an exclusive interview with a member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. Just 3 days ago, on June the 10th, 2013, I had the honor of interviewing Mr. T.K.K. Bhagwat, a trustee of our Central Trust. Mr. Bhagwat has worked in the top echelons of banking in India and abroad, including at the International Monetary Fund. He brings a sharp financial acumen to the trust, to which he was appointed by Bhagwan Baba for the explicit task of taking forward his divine legacies. In this detailed conversation, Mr. Bhagwat shared some milestones in his journey to Bhagwan, as well as the long-term vision of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust and the challenges that lie ahead. Here is that exclusive interview for your listening pleasure, and by the way, it is exclusive in many ways. It's the very first time Mr. Bhagwat has granted a media interview about his journey to Bhagwan and his role in the Central Trust. I hope you will enjoy it as much as I did while recording it. Sai Ram, dear listeners, it's always a matter of great honor for us at Radio Sai to have our trustees come and share their thoughts and experiences with our listeners. Today, we are delighted to have Mr. T.K.K. Bhagwat, a member of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, with us. On June 2001, Mr. T.K.K. Bhagwat was appointed a member of the Council of Management of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. 10 years later, in July 2011, he was appointed a trustee of the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust, and recently in April of 2013, he was inducted into the Sri Satya Sai Sadhana Trust as well. Mr. Bhagwat brings an impressive skill set to this very important position he holds as an instrument of the avatar Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. Most of his education happened in Madras, now known as Chennai. He is a double graduate with degrees in commerce and law. He has been a fellow of the Institute of Bankers. With 42-year banking career, he has worked in all spheres of banking, commercial, central and international. These include 25 years with the Reserve Bank of India, which happens to be India's central banking authority. Given his specialized and successful experience, the Government of India appointed him to the position of Chairman and Managing Director of the Bank of Maharashtra and thereafter as Chairman and Managing Director of the Indian Overseas Bank. Earlier during his tenure in the Reserve Bank of India, he was deputed as Chairman of Vaishya Bank for 5 years to facilitate its revival. In all, Mr. Bhagwat has had the distinction of serving as Chairman and MD of 3 commercial banks in India over a 10-year period. He has also had the distinction of being appointed by the Washington, D.C.-based IMF or the International Monetary Fund as advisor for banking supervision. In that capacity, he was deputed to the central banking authorities in Uganda, Belarus, Sierra Leone and Ghana for 5 years. He also served as director on the boards of National Institute of Bank Management, Exim Bank, Central Bank of India and Union Bank of India. Upon his retirement in 1999, Mr. Bhagwat settled down in Bangalore. Apart from a very impressive resume and career graph, Mr. Bhagwat has a very special and, if I may use the word, historic connection with Bhagwan Baba. Interestingly, his grandfather, Sri late Rao Bahadur Bhagwantam Gupta, was the collector and magistrate in the then Madras state, and even more interestingly, he served as collector of Anantapur district in late 1920s. And as we all know, in the year 1926, in a small village within the Anantapur district, was born Satyanarayan Raju, who grew up to conquer the world with his selfless love and is revered around the globe as Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai Baba. That historic connection aside, Mr. Bhagwat first came to Baba in the year 1977 and the bond only strengthened after his retirement from banking in 1999. Today we will hear from him more details of his journey from a successful banker to a member of the trust founded by the Avatar. Sara, Mr. Bhagwat, and a very warm welcome to you at Radio Sai, sir.
Thank you.
Sir, even though you came to Swami in 1977, did any of your ancestors, especially your grandfather, have any links with Puttaparthi or its crown jewel, Bhagwan Baba?
My grandfather passed away in 1958.
Mm-hmm.
So he was not alive when my connection with Baba developed in 1977. So earlier there was no possibility of his coming to know for Swami, because when he was a collector here in Mumbai, Swami was 2 years, 3 years old.
And you know, too sad that they didn't have the system of birth certificates, otherwise he might have even signed his birth certificate in those days. So it only began in 77.
He performed marriage of my daughter.
Suddenly
Deepa.
You came to know and that happened?
Or did you
come to know through the in-laws of your
daughter? Earlier, my mother was a devotee of Swami. She used to come to Puttaparthi, had darshan of Swami many times. But I never had the fortune of coming with her and having darshan before 77. In 1977, my daughter's, third daughter Geeta's marriage was fixed with the son of Yadalam Gangadhar Shetty.
A very venerable, old-time devotee of Baba.
Of Swami. So, when the marriage was fixed, it was such as Swami, he agreed to perform the marriage in his ashram in Vrindavan.
And you were the father of the bride.
Yes, I was the father of the
Lucky
bride.
Lucky you.
So, that's how, that was my first occasion to have his darshan. it was so thrilling, exciting, and totally taken aback. How it happened, how is it that I got converted in a minute's time? Let me tell you, the marriage as you are telling, bride's father, myself, my wife and my daughter were sitting on the dais. The next row at 90 degrees angle is the bridegroom's parents, mm-hmm. Gangadhar Shetty, mm-hmm. were sitting. And Swami was sitting on one side, mm-hmm. in his chair as usual. And right from the beginning of the function, he sat through. Mm-hmm. It took for 2 hours time. All the 2 hours he was sitting there. When the time came for the Mangalya Dharana, mm-hmm. Swami got up and just with the wave of his hand created Mangalyam. I was sitting, Swami was standing just by the side, so I could see the entire formation of that Mangalyam together with yellow thread, everything just appeared under his palm. I could see how it has appeared. First round, second round, it appeared and he caught it.
Oh, and the secret thread that married
him. This is something for an ordinary person is unimaginable. Yes, Mangalyam is thread and all that just appearing below his palm as he swings. And I could see at close quarters how it was appearing. It was not close and open fist. It was just formation. Mm-hmm. So then I was totally convinced right at that moment. He is no ordinary guru. He is God himself. This is something which no human being can perform. It's only God can do that. Divine force only can generate it like this. So, that was the moment I 100% I believe that he is divine personality. It was a good fortune that we could see him, could come close to him, have his blessings. Something I couldn't find. I was in tears. So I might have heard some of these things, but then to see for myself these things happening in front of me.
So from the palm, this thread and this gold locket was just coming out.
Yes.
And you were sitting below.
It's not coming out of the... It just appears before below the palm.
Okay.
Just below the palm. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, from thin air, it appears below the palm and he catches.
He grabbed it. Okay.
And it all is such a rapid, quick succession. It's because I was sitting very close to him and he was standing, keeping his hand, I could see. The other way, normally, even this will not be visible.
True.
So, from that time onwards, I had no doubt that he is no ordinary person. He is God himself, avatar. And it was my great fortune that I could witness this. In the first instance itself.
And on such a happy occasion in your family.
Happy occasion, daughter is getting married and he was blessing my daughter, Sandila. Thereafter, it happened in 77 December. On 79 January, I was posted to Bangalore by the Reserve Bank, I was telling you.
Yes.
As chairman of the bank, there were some problems for the bank at that time, and they thought that I should look into that and set right the whole thing. So I was deputed as chairman. And that was because of that I was able to come very close to Bangalore. Swami used to come very often to Bangalore. I used to come to the... So because of my placement, I had more opportunities and time, and with ease I could make trips, have darshan and meet like that. It went on those next 5 years. The relationship, the connection that was built delayed in 1977 in my daughter's marriage. It developed gradually. I used to come.
So did you have many interactions with him during those 5 years?
Yes, many times he used to call me into the interview room. So these interactions were there whenever I came, used to bless us. And this, then several experiences have followed.
Mm-hmm.
Then in 1983, I interacted, just as my assignment in Vaishya Bank was ending, I got an offer from International Monetary Fund that whether I can go as advisor to Uganda, governor of the Central Bank of Uganda. So then I have agreed to take it up. And we were that was a time when that Idi Amin,
yes, the dictator,
famous, his regime ended.
Mm-hmm.
And Milton Obote, a former president, has taken over. But then we had some fears going to Uganda after listening to what happened during Idi Amin's regime.
And the cannibalism and all
those things were there.
Scary stories.
I didn't have the courage to ask, but then my wife, when we were taking leave of him, asked Swami, "Swami, I'm going to a strange place. You must take care of us, bless us." So he said, "I am always with you. You have nothing to worry. You can go." So that assurance has given us a lot of courage in facing the environment there. So we went. I was there for more than 2 years. Just after 2 years, there was a coup, military coup again. And then there was a lot of tension around. While in Uganda, they offered me a big bungalow for my stay. I said, myself and my wife, two of us, I don't need a bungalow. A more compact place. So they've given me accommodation, a suite in what they call Uganda House. This is guest house, state guest house.
I see.
So we were staying there. That was considered to be the safest place because president used to be in the first floor.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever he comes to Kampala from his house, he's used to his office there, quite safe. And so that was where we were feeling comfortable. When the coup took place, the so-called safe place has become the most dangerous spot.
Because the
rebels used to focus on the head of the state. So then a big chaos in that guest house there. Some VIPs were there, all those were there. And these rebels, left and right, they entered the building, looted everything. I was in the fifth floor. All the other floors they looted. After that, one gentleman, army fellow, came, entered my room, and I thought my turn has come.
Mm-hmm.
He entered, and then I told him, "I am representing, I am a peer," and all that. Then he saw Swami's photo on the in the drawing room where he entered, the Swami's photo was there. We kept for us. He just looked at that for a while. And then he turned to me and said, "Are you comfortable?" "Yes, I am comfortable." "You have nothing to worry. If you have any problem, you tell me. I will take care." You are safe here. And what a man the people who looted all the people indiscriminately.
Sudden change.
Suddenly, when he came to my hall, it's a total change. And this is a miracle, impossible thing. Those people, the rebels who start attacking all sorts of crimes are performed. We were taken aback. Yes. Then, spent 5 minutes with me. I am here only in the ground floor. I will be coming and going. You just, whenever you have problem, I will tell my people to take care of you. Then I had a Mercedes car, which is a fancy for me. It was in the ground floor. I told him, I live here, my car is there.
Mm-hmm.
So if necessary, I must be able to go out. So you don't worry, your car is safe. And then he went. And then all the cars in that state guest house were stolen, removed, except my car that was left untouched.
Mm-hmm.
And then after 3 days, we were evacuated to Kenya, Nairobi, which is a neighboring country. Because till the situation cooled down, we were kept in a hotel in Nairobi. And after 1.5 months, we were brought back to Kampala. I went to my house at the test chute. When I opened the door, after 1.5 months, when nobody was there, everything we left was spick and span. Not a single item. So many things which we brought, imported from London, so that we could carry to India when we go, all these things were there. None of them were touched. Not a single pin was lost. After 1.5 years, when nobody was there, even when somebody is there, they were thrown out and looted. This was happened. So that was a miracle. Nothing but the result of the blessing of Swami before we started after that. When we came back and narrated to Swami this, he just smiled.
Mm-hmm.
This is a thing very, very glaring. And it's not a human, even a human effort could not have saved us. That was
for sure.
And the second one, which was so many experiences, but I am just telling you the major things. The next assignment was to Belarus in Europe, neighboring country of Russia.
Mm-hmm.
So I just came, myself and my wife, we came to Swami, he took us into the interview room, made me sit there. He was so happy that I am going there. He was sitting on the chair and I was sitting on the floor, and he took my hand and kept my palm on his lap.
Mm-hmm.
All the time that we were sitting there, my palm was on his lap only. Mm-hmm. And he was just doing like this.
Stroking your hand.
I was not knowing why Swami, after the interview when he blessed and we came out. Then I found within 3-4, I left immediately Bangalore and went to London en route. And then I found a miracle. I was suffering from skin allergy for more than 20 years. And that skin allergy is only on my fingers. Skin used to peel off. All sorts of medicines I tried, very irritating and all that. Whole thing disappeared. Till now I have not got it again.
So when he was stroking,
1995, imagine
2013,
nearly 20 years. This was something, it persisted for 20, 25 years for me. All sorts of medicines were tried, nothing. But with one sitting with Swami,
everything's
gone. And the best part of it, I have not told Swami that I am having this, nor have I requested that Swami please see that I am cured of this. No, without my asking, he has cured me of this without my asking, and I could realize only when it was healed 3 days after and it never appeared. So that was Swami. It's not only when we ask something he gives. He knows what we require, what we need. And if we have lucky enough to have his, earn his grace, he will shower. Not that we should ask. No. He is a clear example.
Totally.
Totally.
So
it was like this. So another event which should take my experience to greater heights was, again, I was sent to Sierra Leone after Belarus. I went there. It was very comfortably placed. In we had a huge compound when my bungalow was there, and next is the minister's bungalow, safe for 24 hours. Security is there, everything. Then after that, time, that my term was over, getting over. I thought, myself and my wife, we thought, why not we get back to India? Mm-hmm. Enough of our sojourns. This is after retirement in India. So I'm nearing 65. I said, enough. We had, let's go back to India and spend our time, rest of our time with children. Like that. Then, what to do? It's when my wife said, let us go back. And I was thinking, after leaving a good job at that age, who will give us the thing? We are totally occupied, fully occupied, mentally otherwise. And when leaving a job, and well, then I said, let us ask Swami.
Mm-hmm.
But how to ask Swami when we were there and thousands of miles away? We used to have puja room there itself and Swami's photos, the central space, center spot. We have two slips of paper to continue, not continue. I kept it and we prayed and lifted one. He said, don't continue.
Mm-hmm.
Go. Then I was wondering, how could Swami always says you must keep yourself busy, not idle time and all that? When what happens when I leave this and go, I'll be idle. And why he has said, I don't know. Anyway, it is, the message is clear. I told my Washington headquarters, I would like to. The governor of the central bank was unhappy. Why are you leaving? Why don't you continue this and that? I said, I didn't mention this. I just said, I would like to get back to India. There was a message from Washington requesting, sorry, you have decided to leave, but just continue there for another 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
We'll think of it later, but don't leave like that. I felt they are delicate to say no to people. I said, all right, I will continue for 3 months. And that night, morning, I sent a message to Washington saying, all right, for 3 months I don't mind continuing. Let me not be rigid in this. So, night, noticed in midnight, my whole body was cold. There was nobody except myself and my wife. My body was getting cold. My God, my wife got panicky. What is this? So I said, I don't know. It's cold.
Suddenly, you were fine till then?
I was fine, nothing. I was hale and hearty, no complaint. And it was the first time I'm experiencing the sudden thing. More than myself, my wife was waiting because she could feel from outside. Inside, I could not feel it. So then she said, no, the reason is simple. Morning, you have not violated what Swami has told. He said, leave. But you said, continue for some time, for whatever reason. Swami is now telling us, now you give me a word, early morning, the first thing you will do is send another message saying, withdrawing your consent and we are going back. I said, okay. I know no difficulty in agreeing. So, within 5 minutes, normal temperature.
Oh.
Yeah. It's so funny. For no reason it became cold.
Hmm.
Without any effort, it becomes normal.
Well, your wife was very intuitive.
It didn't occur to me also, but it occurred to her. She told me, I said, okay, I will know. That is the case. No question of going against Swami's wishes that way. Only thought with some discretion we will use when the message is there, we will leave definitely. That's how, but anyway, with this thing, I agreed, and it dropped. Then, I'm just cutting short, there are several implications here, but anyway, this we decided to leave and then we packed up. No, everybody was surprised. Chief security officer was sent from Washington to talk to me. He came to my place, had with me. IMF ambassador was also there. He was also there. I said, Bhagwat, why are you leaving? Tell us if you have any particular reason. I said, I have no reason. I have no information, I have no reason, nothing. I just want to go. Then they said, this is the first time it has happened. Nobody has.
These are very plum assignments. So nobody would want to leave them without.
I said, I'm sorry, I couldn't help it. This is, I didn't explain why. They barked out. I said, I have to leave on Thursday. I said, okay, I'll leave. That term expires and all. They made a small mistake. I landed there on a Saturday. So, went to office on Monday. The counting of the term will be from Monday.
I see.
They made a mistake and I counted from Saturday.
Okay.
And they said Thursday instead of Saturday. I said, I don't mind. What, Anna, 2 days? We took the flight on the same night and left the country. And the very next day, there was a massacre.
Oh, God.
The worst massacre in the world. Any country has experienced. So the sort of rebels from neighboring country and all this have totally swamped the city. Killed left and right, maimed the people.
Oh, dear God.
It has become such a horrible sight. So many lives are lost. So much property was destroyed. And then, see how Swami took me away from the place. Margin of one day.
Exactly. 24 hours would have made a difference between life and death. Oh, God. How he protected you.
Yeah, the moment I left the place and reached London on the way to India, and then I hear in the TV news, this is what has happened. Oh, my God. Swami knows everything. And you are so graceful enough to bring me, virtually pull me out of that place, virtually pull me out of my place, although we were telling yes or no, this and that.
You practically drained your life out of your body to remind you through your wife that you had to keep your word.
You follow what I said.
Follow his instructions, obey.
Otherwise, he was not keeping quiet, not tolerating.
For your own good.
All for my own good. This is a question of my life.
Exactly.
If I stayed there for 24 hours more, you would not have been alive. 100%. And in retrospect, when I heard the bungalow in which I was staying, it was quite well secured, 45 minutes, a group of rebels, fully armed, were firing and firing and firing for 45 minutes the building. Because they thought somebody is inside.
Yeah.
We left on the previous day.
You were in London, thankfully.
So this is
such an important lesson that if we obey what Swami says,
you have to follow what Swami said. We did not ask why, Swami. No question. He knows best. He will do what is good for us, nothing else. We have a very limited vision, limited thinking power. There is nothing. He knows past, present and future. And he loves us. And so he protects us all the time.
And even that administrative glitch, the oversight that they counted your time 3 days minus going backwards, that's what saved your lives. Otherwise, you would have been there in the eye of the storm.
I was, I don't know whether to laugh at that. Morning till evening, the administration department disposes of so many cases working out the thing. When somebody is leaving, okay, this is the time we calculate. For them, it is a routine thing. And such a routine matter, they made a mistake. It is
all for your own good.
All for my good. Swami has saw to it that I leave that place. And again, if they have set some other date and I don't, then the purpose is not served. So we were taken out. Just before we left, all my goods were given to clearing agents. They came, packed up everything and removed, kept it in the barrows, and I left. Then After listening to all this, there was nobody to even reply to our thing, that what happened to our goods. I know the massacre and all this thing, nobody can answer anything. So the time passed, and the insurance, IMF, said, "Oh, don't worry, we will compensate you on that." Then, another thing I must tell you, when I said firmly, I am not continuing in Sierra Leone, then I told my wife, look, they are asking us to continue. We said, no, don't expect any further offers from them. No assignment. Now, you must make up your mind that we are going back to India for final retirement. Yes, sir, she said, okay, nothing. Okay, we don't expect. You won't believe, after my reply has gone, within a week, a call from Washington, okay, if you say you don't continue, will you go to Ghana? Yes, okay, I'll go, but for 1 year I will go. They posted me. See, there is no loss in following Swami's advice. I not lost my job forever, I got an offer. My life has been saved. No tensions, nothing of the sort. And what remained was the property. All the baggages I have given to them. 1 year was passed. And after 1 year, when I was in Ghana, a friend of mine, was a doctor who was in charge of our medical cell in Sierra Leone, happened to see me, meet me. I said, oh, you are here? I saw all your baggages in the customs office in Sierra Leone, Freetown. We happened to go there for something after 1 year, and he saw that my name was there, TKK Bhagwat, and he told me. I said, I don't know, I never thought that my things were still safe, but they must have been destroyed. No. Then I contacted them. They said, oh, you are here. And I said, they sent all the baggages, all the packages. Not even a piece of paper was torn. They landed in our place.
Intact.
Imagine when thousands and thousands of people lost their property, lives, my baggage, God knows that how could it be saved? I never expected also, I gave up, I didn't inquire. A message came to me, all because of Swami, and things have settled down, then all the things, but there is no loss of property, no loss of job, no loss of life, nothing, follow instructions.
Even though they may seem a little bit irrational at that moment, you have to trust him.
Trust him. That's in that trying time. So, this is nothing but this, not one or two. These experiences prove that he is none other than God himself. We are fools not to believe that. You carried away by his human personality. He is God, divine personality. Impossible is only your experiences. You can convince you, if at all you want something to become convinced, there are any number. But you must have the heart and head to understand. This is what happened. Then
after Ghana, you returned to India?
I returned to India. And then that's why I said, 99, I returned. Then I was coming to Swami regularly, into Whitefield and all that. So then one day he asked me, call me to interview. So I went. You know the way he puts it, I will ask you, will you agree? I said, what Swami is telling? Will you serve on our council of management? Hey, what Swami? It's your order. If you ask, are you command? We are here to do anything what you command. Come on, then you come. So that was he was giving so many lessons to us. We should be. It's a lesson. Every minute is a lesson with him. So, that's how he has put it. I was so happy. I don't know what a great blessing is giving me an opportunity. I have just come here. I said, I'll do that.
before Swami asked you, would you like to be on the Council of Management, did you have any inkling about this?
No.
So first time you heard it was straight from Swami?
Straight from Swami.
Oh, what an honor.
I started from Swami. I never expected. After all, there are so many people who are there seen as tour devotees. I'm going there for my own peace. Then he asked me, I said, what little I can do, I will do, sir. Please. Then I was appointed here. Then one more incident is, this time my health. I had some problem, urinary problem, and then it was diagnosed as cancer. You know, cancer means, you know, that there is no cure, then you go on undergoing this treatment, that treatment, and endless, the end is known. He said, do you, don't worry. You undergo that whatever operation they have suggested. So, I just went through the operation. One day after that, he called us in his interview room. My wife was a little nervous. Swami, cancer, you know, is very difficult to cure. He said, his cancer is cancelled. Cancelled, cancelled.
3 times.
After that, no, I had to go there for every year periodical checkup.
Yeah.
And I was going there once, first year I went. Then in the passage in front of this interview, we were sitting there. Swami came out. He was pointing to me and telling others, he has a great love for doctors. He keeps on going to them. Then I got the message, no
stop
review.
It.
No, yes, it cancelled. Cancelled. Hmm. No question of any annual periodical review. That all stopped.
Total faith in his word.
Now, it is 8 years. You go to any doctor, can he cure your cancer?
Well, he had a plan for you to be his instrument. He kept you fit.
God only knows. He only knows.
Hmm.
I am just his servant.
Hmm.
So, he says, he is not an ordinary person. He is God himself. Sooner we all realize what he is real, it will be better for us. The longer the time we take, we lose the opportunities.
You were a member of the Management Council of the Central Trust till you got appointed as a trustee in 2011.
Yes.
How did that come about?
Well, that's a sort of reorganization that has taken place. Swami was the sole trustee for a long time, and it was he who set in motion this reorganization. In the process of reorganization, it is, we have been inducted. I am grateful for the confidence he had in me, and the trust he has reposed in me. What little is possible, humanly possible for me, I will do. I know he can take care of all his organization.
All by himself.
We are nothing. He is very much operative. He knows. He guides us. We par the worldly understanding, we are here. In divine sense, he is very much there. He takes care of everything. One thing which we say, it is again, opportunity to serve the organization is a blessing. One of the blessings which he could give is given. An opportunity to serve his organization.
Are you awed by the responsibility? Because now the devotees look up to the Central Trust as the agent that will ensure that what Swami has set in motion will continue to roll on.
Certainly. That is our primary objective. See, we have got to see that the great organizations which he has created, unique organizations, we have to see that they continue to function and expand.
Mm-hmm.
See, this super specialty hospitals, each operation, how much it costs, and how people find it difficult to make those operation costs in the normal life. All that Swami is offering, and hundreds and thousands of operations are performed, such operations, free of cost by Swami. All this means a huge expenditure. He has created a corpus that will take care of all his forethought. And the income from it should take care of the corpus remains, and the income only we can take into expenditure purposes. You take care of the maintenance of the super specialty hospitals, university, and all other institutions. Okay. But the thing is, we should not be complacent from that angle, because the operational costs keep on rising. Cost of living, cost of everything goes up,
inflation.
goes up, every inflation. It could be 10%, could be 15% per annum. So this is something which we have got to see, that the adequate resources are always available with the trust, so that the Swami's mission can be carried forward in future. See, as I was telling, this is not a commercial organization, so you buy, sell something and make profit, and that profit is plowed into reserves and take care of the future investments and all. It is not like that. There is no profit, only expenditure, no income from that annual, apart from the corpus and donations. So this is a thing which we have to keep in mind, that is not like commercial organization. They can see that they can manage the operation such a way they increase the profit and take care of the new investments and thing. So what is important for us is the goodwill of the devotees, goodwill of the public. So they should continue to appreciate the nobility of these institutions and come forward to support this institution's activity to the extent they can. So that is the goodwill which we got to protect and see that it expands in the future, and so that it's not a question of two hospitals or three hospitals. It could be any number, as many as the resources permit. So this is a thing which we have to keep in mind. We just can't create money out of thin air. It calls for certain efforts in direction.
And who knows it better than a banker himself?
Swami is super banker.
Very true, sir.
See, these are Swami's institutions. They are immortal. The only thing is, we as humans should understand that and do a little bit to set an example to others.
Yes, sir, you spoke of cost escalation, inflation, everything, the need to upgrade current existing infrastructure. Now, these cost money, and as you mentioned, the trust has access to the corpus fund that Bhagwan has set up, and the continuing goodwill of the devotees who believe in this cause. And yet we see that the trust continues to take up new initiatives, new social welfare schemes.
Yes.
Even after the Mahasamadhi, there have been some huge expenditure layouts. Would you like to tell us about those?
You see, one is that the water project.
Yes, the Anantapur water project. We are expanding it further.
It's going to cost the trust about 80 crores of rupees.
That's a huge amount of money.
Huge amount. But then we have been, and also the existing medical institutions, rather, they need modernization for some time. That also is quite a big sum, and you can't ignore these things. So, apart from that, the thing is the increase in cost of living, so that the administrative operational costs keep on increasing, apart from the capital costs. So, these are something which you should say, these are something which one has to face. If you want the institutions to grow, continue to grow and serve in a bigger way, and what is underlying, as I was telling you, is the goodwill. is the generosity of his devotees and goodwill that we are able to cultivate and provide.
And this goodwill is clearly very important, but we see a common strain in everything that is done in Bhagavan's name. There is absolutely no solicitation of any kind of...
Correct.
So goodwill that comes from the heart that we are looking at, and does that continue to flow even today?
Yes, it will. It is flowing. But the thing is, what is the limit? What is our expectation? But then we should be practical.
Mm-hmm.
So these are things, what we say when we say goodwill and all that, these are all the long-term factors which will ensure our long-term growth and expansion. This is there. These things can fluctuate. One year it can be less, another year it can be more. It's not, as I said, no comparison with commercial organizations.
Exactly.
This ours could be fluctuating. Yeah. We should not be worried, but we should be consistent in our efforts to maintain the goodwill and retain the confidence of the devotees and bring in new people into the fold. And so that they can support the organizations grow from time to time. This will happen. But let's not try to calculate minute to minute.
Mm-hmm.
Now, for instance, within 1 year of Swami's Nirvana, then we got this water project, 80 crores.
Mm-hmm. That's a huge expenditure. And we
are just one project.
Just one project, which brings water to an additional 121 villages.
Some, yes.
What is the update on the project, sir?
It's going on. Work is progressing. And maybe in another 6 months' time, good part of it should be ready.
And it looks like the Satish Sai Central Trust is continuing to do things which one would traditionally expect governments to do, to provide health care, to provide free of cost tertiary health care, primary health care, free of cost education from primary to university level, and clean drinking water. Does the Central Trust see its role to continue in this direction going forward?
This situation that the government's responsibility, all these things are well known historically. But still, Swami thought it necessary, appropriate, that he should take the initiative in a very unconventional manner.
Mm-hmm.
These are not things which can be just raised by anyone.
Mm-hmm.
The expenditure funds in money requirement is enormous. But then he has taken it, the challenge, and he has done it. So, for one thing, for him to do that, mm-hmm. and another thing for us to keep it going.
Mm-hmm.
Because his powers are to end. Mm-hmm. Now, we will try to work out in our own way how to keep this project going forward, expanding further and serving more and more people. We are quite optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
We are quite optimistic. This will continue. There is one is the Swami's grace. He will see that the institutions which he had fondly established will survive all the doubts, all the problems, and grow from strength to strength. That is, I am sure about it. And then whatever human input is needed, we have got to put in our efforts. That will definitely take care of the future of these institutions. And devotees, they are also quite understanding, they will do that. I have no doubt about the future. It depends, whatever we do or we would like to do, depend upon the resources. Now, for instance, what we have done, the transparency is one thing. Now, if you expect all the thousands or millions of devotees to come forward and do, we don't ask them to do it, but still they do it, they give. So they should know. They should know what we are doing.
Where the money is going.
Transparency is one thing. So the latest annual report of Central Trust, you will see, it is like more than a company balance sheet.
It is. Very, very exhaustive.
Expenditure, where we get the money and how we spend the money and what are the projects which we have undertaken, what are our plans, everything is there.
It's all out there and anyone can access it on our website.
This information which we are giving in the normal course as annual report would itself motivate genuine devotees to appreciate and come forward and donate.
And it dispels any kind of rumor mongering because the facts are right before you.
Yes. Mm-hmm. We don't have to say anything. Everything is put in the report. It's open. It's all the accounts are audited just like any other corporate. Inspection, audits.
Checks, balances, everything
is done. Organization is being gradually built. So, only thing is, people will come to know over a period of time.
Does build a lot of confidence in people is to know the caliber of the individuals who are involved in this work. I think we have eminent bankers with international experience such as yourself. We have people from the area of jurisprudence, business, administration. So Swami has a fine blend of people in the Central Trust.
Yes.
A very high talent and high caliber looking after.
Yes.
That gives a boost to the confidence quotient.
See, that's another thing is the level of commitment they have.
Tremendous.
Tremendous. Mm. Some of the trustees have been there for Swami for 50 years, 60 years. Not that they individually they will be able to do all these things. No, it's a collectively. Mm. With Swami's grace, we will be able to perform.
Mm-hmm. Sir, if I may ask you, given your personal relationship with Swami and then the important role in which you were inducted, how did the occurrence of the Mahasamadhi impact you?
No wonder some people who are not regular devotees have some doubts, or some were not well founded. Anyway, things have happened. Some people have started criticizing, some people have done it. It doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
God is great. Swami is there too.
Indeed he is.
Indeed he is there. And now things are improved, you see. What happened to all those things? Nothing. From inside of our heart we can say we are done whatever is possible honestly and with total commitment. All systems are there, checks and balances. Transparency is that what we are doing with what we have, whatever we have got. And we are not going beyond what Swami has laid, whether it is hospitals or education institutions or social projects. They have all been initiated by Swami. We are sticking to that and carrying on. So, things will, as the time passes, more and more will be seen. So long as we are honest and straightforward, committed to the projects and philosophy, things should be growing. Mm-hmm. It's a question. We must have patience.
Yes. Absolutely. And it's fantastic to know that.
Yes.
My final question, sir. You did mention it a few times, but if I asked you to reflect back, who is Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba for you personally?
He is my God. He is my God. Nothing short. Nothing less.
God, huh? In human form.
Human form.
And now in his
now
cosmic.
In his divine form.
Mm.
I experience any number of experiences that he is there, listening to me, doing whatever, encouraging us to do these things.
And the experience continues today?
Continues to be there. Continues to be there. I just don't want to go on any number of experiences. He is omnipresent. That is what I am convinced. And we have some prayers. And the responses.
What is the form of response?
Whatever guidance you want, whatever obstacles you face, they are removed. Guidance, you get the guidance.
Do you pray for matters related to the trust as well?
Yes, for everything. I don't pray individually, do this or do that for me, no. Because I know he will take care of us without our asking.
So then what is your prayer?
Prayers is I worship him every day.
Mm-hmm.
Like you, some may worship Shiva, some may worship Narayana, and I worship Swami.
Because
he is Shiva, he is Narayana, he is everything for me. He is divine personality. There is no end to him. There is no beginning to him. Just you will continue to see him. The ages may pass. Ages may pass. He will continue to see him, experience him. He is always alive and functioning. For me, he is everything. And my experience confirms that I am on the right track.
Very nice to hear that from a person with such extensive experience in the area of finance. So it's very nice to know that your heart and your head are so well aligned, and a person of your caliber is amongst the trustees of the Central Trust. I'm sure our listeners will really appreciate that. Thank you so much for sparing us your time, sir.
Thank you very much for giving me an opportunity to interact with you, to express my feelings and my thoughts on this occasion. I hope all the devotees and the public who happen to listen would also understand the situation, continue the devotion to Swami.
Thank you, and it's an honor having had you. Sairam, sir.
Thank you, Sairam.
Sairam, and welcome back. You just heard a Radio Sai exclusive interview with Mr. T.K.K. Bhagwat, a member of the Sri Sathya Sai Central Trust. We hope you enjoyed it. Your feedback is very important to us. So please, do take a moment to write to us. You can reach us at listener@radiosai.org. And now it's time for the feature presentation of the day. In today's episode of Fleeting Moments, Lasting Memories, we have the conclusion of this three-part interview with Mr. Balram Chandran. He is in conversation with Radio Sai's Mr. Bishu Prushti. Over now to Sathya Sai University alumnus, Mr. Balaramachandran, a student, and Mr. Bishu Prushti.
I'd also like to share, brother, something. The impact which Swami had slightly made in me, and in fact, I saw this in my brother also. You know, I said Swami taught us Vedanta when he said, nothing is everything and everything is nothing. So one is to conceptually understand Vedanta, second is to leave it, at least to some extent in your lives. I remember Satyam Shivam Sundaram at some part, I think when there was, I think, a death in Swami's family.
Yes.
When everybody was grieving and sitting, I believe when Sri Kasturiji came in, I believe Swami said that, see Kasturi, all these people are crying, but if there's no birth and death, then how do I spend my time?
Yes.
And very beautifully, I think in Satyam Shivam Sundaram, the name of the chapter is Moves in His Game. So there was a move in his game which happened in my family also. And I guess, remember I said that I was the first grandchild. I was the apple of the eye. Particularly very closely connected to my grandfather. Now, it was everybody's aspiration that I should study here, get a gold medal in Swami's college. And my Swami's grace, I mean their blessings, ultimately I did end up getting that. So the only thought in their life was I must study in Swami's college, get a gold medal from Swami and all that.
Wow.
So what had happened is that I was in my MFM. I was studying in my MFM. I think it was my second year, if I remember right. Yes, I think this must be the second year. So 6 months you're here and you're totally cut off from home except for those phone calls. In fact, even my report cards in school, my grandfather used to sign. It was not my parents.
Okay.
So I was like a son only. So very closely connected to him. In fact, I remember even in my childhood, one of the, I think the two dangerous bloodhounds which God uses to bring you closer towards him is one is the fear of death and the other fear of disease. So fear of death is something which has been haunting me always, and that's what brought me close to spiritual thought and stuff like that. So even the thought of somebody in my family, say, you know, the grandparent passing away, and grandfather was very closely associated. I mean, I was too attached to him, I couldn't even think of. Now, I had come here, I was studying. I remember, now in hindsight, I remember last few days, grandfather was never speaking to me. What had actually happened is that during my exam time, my grandfather had taken seriously ill, but they had never informed us because grandfather had particularly told not to inform us because he did not want our exams to get disturbed. Why? Because then if I miss an exam, then he was not sure whether that would be considered as an absenteeism. And if I was absent, he wasn't sure whether I would get a gold medal from Swami. So he had particularly taken care to ensure that nobody tells us this. So both of us were blissfully unaware of the fact that he had taken seriously ill. He had actually passed away.
Oh my God.
Just imagine, 6 months before, you don't even have an inkling that somebody is sick. Okay? Now what happened is the last exam got over. Suddenly we find one day a relative of ours has just turned up. And he's a guy who doesn't very regularly come to Puttaparthi. He's come. Why has he come? He's been sent on deputation to actually take us back. And they were not sure how we would respond, react. So that's why they sent somebody to accompany us. And this person came, he didn't know how to break the news to us, but eventually the news was broken. And brother, it was something unbelievable which happened that day. He came and first told me, of course my brother was in the school hostel at that point of time, very young. He came and told me that this happened. And Just imagine, you don't even know a person is, the last time you saw the person was hale and hearty, and out of the blue, you are told that your grandfather passed away. Now, interestingly, from that second onwards, I think I went on anesthesia. Because immediately, very matter-of-factly, I said, this happened? I said, okay, he's reached Swami. And then you know what happened? I had to now convey this news to my brother. I went to the school hostel. I didn't know how he would react. I said, this happened. Brother, this has happened. A grandfather has reached Swami. I said, a grandfather has reached Swami's lotus feet. And he gave a reaction which is, maybe he did not know how to react, small child, but then he just looked at me and smiled. Could you imagine somebody smiling when you're given a message like this? And after that, you know, brother, what happened? Something very interesting happened. Both of us came back. We came back to this cousin of ours who had been sent to take us back home to console us. There was an exact role reversal. Instead of the cousin consoling us, the cousin was sitting and crying, and both of us were sitting next to him and talking Vedanta. We were saying, see, Swami tells that the body is unreal and the spirit is real. So spirit is still there. Only the body is gone. It's just a dress. And imagine a 12th standard boy and an FFM boy speaking to a grown up. And it was a role reversal where we were consoling him all throughout the journey. We go back home. The entire family is stunned. They don't know how he will react. And I still remember when he walked into the house, there was an air of suspense and tension there. But both of us entered wearing white and white. We didn't even have time to change. We went in smiling. And we walk in, my grandma starts crying, everybody starts crying, and we embrace them. And both of us, including my brother who was in 12th standard at that point of time, speaking Vedanta to these people, saying that, see, don't think about all this. See, Swami has taught us that the body is just a dress. Okay, it is always perishable. It's made of the five elements. But the spirit, that is eternal. So why are you crying? Why I'm talking about this incident, brothers, I'm very personal, but the reason why I want to share this here is only for one reason, about the impact which unknowingly Swami had made on us. All the discourses that you hear, I remember one Swami saying that nothing which he speaks goes in vain, that he sows a seed and somewhere at the required moment it sprouts. You know, so attached to my grandfather, but till date I will tell you, I have not shed a drop of tear. Not shed a drop of tear. Because we went back there, it was used to be bhajans daily, we used to talk about Swami, we had just learned Sai Katha at that point of time, we used to narrate, the entire family used to come and sit before us. It actually became a spiritual fest instead of becoming a sorrow fest. Absolutely. So, what I'm talking about this is about the impact which Swami leaves without even you realizing.
Yes, absolutely. What comes to my mind is the story of a grandfather who tells his little one, you go to the river and bring water in this kettle. And that kettle is dark in color and it has a lot of dirt, but it also has a lot of holes. So every time the boy goes and he picks the water from the lake nearby, and by the time he comes to the grandfather, the kettle is almost empty. And the grandfather says, it's okay, you go and you bring again. So this little one goes and he brings, and again, you know, by the time he comes to the grandfather, it is there's no water left in the kettle, and he's kind of dejected now. He's like, what is the meaning of all this? You know, you send me again and again to get water, but there is no water coming. I mean, why are you doing this to me? It's punishment. He says, no, it doesn't matter, you just go, it's fine, you know. So he goes again and he comes back. So it happens for a couple of times, and when this boy gets frustrated, then this grandfather tells him, look at the kettle. And now if you see, the kettle, which was dark in color, has now become white. Okay, so we don't even realize, you know, all those, and we are that kettle with a lot of holes and everything. But, you know, his message keeps on pouring, and as you live with him, you know, all these things, you keep drenching yourself with that. Yes. Unconsciously, you know, we don't know what happens to us, actually.
Yeah. And even today, I'll tell you, it's not that I have become a Vedantin, it's not that I have myself realized. So, no, I think I still have a long way to go, but I narrate this not so much to talk of my evolution, but to talk about the power of the divine, the power of the Lord, who can, when required, he can give you that wisdom. Maybe he gave it to you as a free app to use, application to use it for some time. You required it at that time. But that was the thing. It's not that I'm completely evolved. I still have those fears, all that happens. But yes, that was
but
a big
exact
step
most difficult moment.
Yes.
You know, he gave you what was needed at that point.
Absolutely. Complete anesthesia. Still remember, not a drop of tear shed. And in fact, instead of people having to console us, it was a role reversal where we were actually consoling people. So that was a very telling kind of thing.
I think everything that you mentioned, you know, today just comes down to that, you know, what is the real fantastic advantage of having the avatar as your Sadguru? You know, you see the role of God as a supreme master You know, everything has the divine touch. You know, how our evolution is so fast-tracked in His presence.
Yeah. The thing is that this continues. In fact, in chronology, if I were to... Now, this is when I studied. Now, we've experienced all this. Swami did this when we were studying. Now, people might wonder, does this happen only when you're with Swami, in His physical presence, when you're a student, when you have that tag? My experience shows me, to whatever little extent, that no, it continues even after that. And now I'd like to quickly talk about share two things, where telling episodes in my life, where even after I had passed out of the portals of Swami's institution, Swami continued to extend this support, and He prepared me for certain things in my life. That way, I have not had the privilege of having a lot of dream experiences where Swami comes in. Dream is a very common method of communication which Swami uses. Not had too many of them, but this was one thing which happened in my life, because it is one of those rare dreams, by that itself makes it very, very unique. This happened when I had passed out of Swami's institute. I had joined a bank, as you know. Initially, I was working in retail banking. At that point in time, I was a branch manager of one of our branches. What happened is that suddenly I get a dream one day. Swami appears in the dream, and this, I remember the setting, it was the interview room. And only I am there. And then Swami is asking me, where do you work? I said, Swami, I work for a bank. I still remember. Swami says, bank means what and all you do? And all these questions are significant. And later on, you will realize when you listen to the entire episode. Swami says, he started with the official thing. He said, where do you work in a bank? Okay, what do you do in a bank? You write accounts and all that? I still remember Swami asking, do you fill up ledger account and all that? So I tell Swami, no, Swami, I'm a branch manager. And then I still remember Swami swells with pride and said, you're a branch manager? Oh, very good, Swami says. And then Swami says, you sing, no? I said, yes, Swami, I sing. He said, what are you going to sing now? Sing something now. And for some reason, brother, some strange reason, I decide to sing not a bhajan, but a song. Which song? A song, a group song, which is normally sung here in Swami's presence for festivals. We sing it as an entire group. Now, this particular group song was Teri Hai Zameen Tera Asma. Now, to admit, that is not one of my favorites or anything. It's not that I've regularly sung it here or anything, but that's what I'm saying. For some strange reason, I tell Swami that day in the dream, Swami, I will sing this. And Swami said, okay, sing. And you know, interesting, something very happens. Immediately, Swami gets down from the chair, sits, squats down like, you know, just like all of us, and right in front of me, and Swami pulls the harmonium, and Swami says, I'll play the harmonium. The harmonium has come back again. Okay? So this time, He brings the harmonium. Swami keeps Shruti, and Swami's actually playing. I can hear it in my dream. Swami's actually playing, and I'm singing, Teri Hai Zameen Tera Asma. Now, you know what happens, brother. You know this song yourself, I know. After the zero stanza, for some strange reason in the dream, I directly go to stanza 2, which starts like this. It says, Tu chahe to hame mare, Tu chahe to hame rakhe, Tere hi haath se sai, Hamare bhag hai likhe. Now, you know what happened? When I start seeing that part, the Swami who was playing the harmonium till then, he was only playing harmonium till then, exactly when Tu Chahe To Hame Mare started, Swami started singing along with me. Singing along with me. I still remember Swami swaying from side to side, playing the harmonium and singing along with me. Now, after that got over, He said, very good, very good, very good. And immediately He materialized Vibhuti. And then He said, open your mouth. And He said, He put it into my mouth. And brother, I still remember that Vibhuti was sweet. You don't get these sensations in a dream, but I distinctly remember that day that Vibhuti was sweet. And you know what is most interesting? And that Vibhuti had some golden looking crystals in it.
Oh.
I don't know what Swami gave. Maybe one of those stuff which He showed you. Okay. So golden looking crystals. It went into my mouth. And I still remember it was sweet. And I still remember I immediately got up. It was early in the morning. And I still remember when I got up. And brother, now maybe you will say I'm mad now. When I got up, I could feel the sweetness in my awakened state.
Oh my God.
Now, can you believe this, brother? I was so shocked, I woke up my wife also and said, it's very sweet. Swami gave me Vibhuti. I mean, we were shell-shocked. The golden crystal, I still remember it was sweet. That lingering taste, you know, after you eat some sweet, you know, for some time it lingers, you know. That I couldn't find a particle, but the lingering sweetness was there. It was so, so, so real. Now, that happened. Brother, what happened after this is, immediately after this, for about a month or maybe more than that, I went through the most testing, difficult period in my official career. Now, brother, now go back to the dream. The first question that Swami asked me in the dream was, what do you do? What is my job? I had the opportunity to tell Him I am a branch manager. And after that, Swami starts singing. rather I start singing and I pick up a particular song where I'm talking about Tu chahe to hame mare. Tu chahe to hame rakhe. So you either hit me or you take care of me, but whatever you do, Swami, tere hi hath se sai hamare. Swami, let me be aware that it's all, the script is written by your hand. It doesn't matter whether it's a blow or whether you are caressing me. But then ultimately, the overall meaning I'm saying, that to me it meant that it was a clear premonition. Swami was telling me that, okay, remember now you're going to go to something very tough. And remember, in that song, Swami started singing only when that line came. Tu chahe to hame mare. Remember, all this happened. You can't imagine. Now, if this dream had happened to me, after I had gone through these experiences, my monkey mind would have told me that it is because of this I'm imagining. This happened a good 2 weeks before, when I had absolutely no clue that I would go through a very, very tough patch. These were all official stuff, where of course, I had done my duties properly, everything was fine, but then there were certain external agencies because of which we were having a problem, and I as the branch manager was having a very, very tough time, very, very terrible times, and I remember each time I would go through some tough period there, immediately, you know, the song would play back. Tu chahe to hame mare.
So you just leave it to him.
Yes, and the song, because it was like Swami saying that, don't worry, it's written by me. Brother, I'll tell you, if I had not, Swami had not done this, I wouldn't have survived that period. Now, what happens after this is, okay, my monkey mind can still think that no, it is maybe still a coincidence. We forget the fact that coincidence is a miracle where God chooses to be anonymous. 100 times he shows you, but the 101st time, you do the same thing. Maybe I'll continue to do that, okay? And maybe that's why he still keeps me. It's good to be that way, because then he'll never let you go. So, after all this happens, I came out, by his grace, I came out through that tough period and then everything got fine. And of course, then came the best part of my career when I started growing fast and stuff like that. Now, what happened is, after all this had happened, I had an opportunity to come back to Prashanthinilayam. It was one of those Premabandham meets. And I came back, and I was late that year. So, I was not hoping to get a chance for anything. But finally, what happened is, for some strange reason, when I was sitting, not even free, just the last minute, the day before, when they were allotting songs, I didn't qualify because I was coming late. For some strange reason, one of the brothers, they turned around and said that you joined this group. They are singing a song, you sing. And you know which song I got? Teri hai zameen, tera asman. Can you believe this? I've never ever sung this song that way before Swami. Immediately after his episode, as though to reconfirm that no, actually it was from me only, the first song I get to sing in his presence, the first ever song I get to sing in his presence after that was Teri hai zameen.
You were asked to sing this?
Yes. I didn't ask for it. And I didn't qualify that year because I was actually coming late. There was no chance. Last minute, one brother turns around and says, you sing this. And I had the mic in front of me, singing, and Swami was looking at me. I was looking at Swami. Only the both of us knew the special import that this song had for me. Why I'm talking about this is, sometimes you wonder whether his responsibility ends with the studenthood. No. I mean, it came, even after that, it was very, very clear. Most unbelievable, you know, a brother beautifully put it. He says stress, in official life you talk of stress, but they say that stress is Swami to your rescue in every sticky situation.
I mean, okay.
And brother of ours said this very beautifully. So it is exactly this.
I mean, God is someone who converts, as the someone said, you know, every test in our life into a testimony.
Absolutely, absolutely. Test into a testimony.
Testimony.
And the other final thing was a very small thing where a major lesson came. This was again after my student period. We had come for darshan. We had come to see Swami at that point in time in Vrindavan. Because there was no accommodation available inside the hostel, we were staying in some accommodation outside. It is some kacha kind of accommodation. We don't have a proper... But you had a place to sleep. So early in the morning, we had to go for Nagar Sankirtan. We just come out of the place where I was staying. And I was supposed to take along with me one more brother who was supposed to come. Now, he was staying in a place which is nearby, so I couldn't get access to his room. So, I tried to call him. I came out of the building, out onto the road, and then I had to, it was early in the morning, 3:34. There was a light glowing in the window, so I was trying to shout out for him and then attract his attention. You know, brother, I'm very, very traditionally scared of dogs. The day I was born, I was taught that thou shalt fear dogs. You know, and it's so much so, you don't believe this. When my grandfather, I spoke about my grandfather, when Swami gave him an interview in the 1950s, you know the question which he asked Swami? He told Swami, Swami, I'm very scared of dogs. Just imagine how important it is for a person if you tell God in an interview. And Swami, his inimitable sight, said, why do you think of it as D-O-G, dog? See it as G-O-D, God. Swami said that, I'm still learning that lesson, I'm still scared of dogs, okay. That day, I was just outside trying to call this brother. Suddenly, I heard some snarling noises behind me. Brother, this was in the village in Kadugudi, out in Vrindavan. When I turned around, there were about 5 or 6 stray dogs.
Oh my God.
Just behind me, biting distance. Very powerful episode happened. What happened is that first reaction is what? Fear. You start running, and that's the wrong thing to do with the dog.
Yes.
I still remember I started running, and I still could see with the corner of my eyes all the dogs chasing me, and they would have bitten me definitely. And brother, at that point of time, something unbelievable happened. It was as though somebody caught hold of me. I could feel the pressure on my collar. Somebody caught hold of me and turned me around. And I saw myself turning around towards the stray dogs who were rushing towards me and saying, shh, can you believe this? I, who's scared of dogs, turning around towards the dogs and saying, shh, as though to silence them, and the dogs were stunned. Because here was a guy running, and distinctly I remember, brother, I believe it is Swami, who actually caught hold of me, turned me around, and then I faced it, and then they were, and in slow motion, so to say, I walked away. Only after I went inside the gate, I said, my God, what did I do? Okay? But one important takeaway for me is, maybe Swami was trying to tell me that you cannot run away from life's difficulties. You'll have to face it. And he literally that day turned me around and then put me squarely.
Turned the dog into God.
Absolutely. And turned me around and said, yes. You can't run away from the challenge and you will have to face that stuff. I still have not overcome my fears. But whenever I have a big challenge in my career or in anything to do generally with life, I try to think of this dog episode.
Yes. Maybe very symbolic. But I think, as you mentioned, the moment you think about it deeply, perhaps all those lessons keep coming.
Absolutely. So these were some of the things, I mean, I've spoken a lot, brother. I mean, but these were some of the things which I wanted to just pour out.
Before we wind up, let me ask you one or two things. You know, you mentioned your whole journey with Bhagwan, you know, how you had that inner connection with Bhagwan, then you tried to establish that connection with the physical Swami, and then it came to a point when Swami gave you that realization that both are the same. And with that perhaps sort of conviction, you stepped out into the world and you continue to experience Him in whatever and wherever life placed you. And perhaps it was going on fine, but how did you take April 2011, now that you had established this connection? Was that difficult?
Difficult is an understatement. Very, very difficult. But as always, Swami helped me through it. Now let me exactly tell you what happened then. I remember this crystal clear. Brother and I stayed together, so he was a live witness to all this. And we had, of course, naturally different reactions to this. When the news trickled in on Easter Sunday, I still remember that point in time, it was, of course, like everybody else, we were in a state of shock. I felt like a lost puppy. I felt like an orphaned child. My first reaction was to just close my eyes and sit down. I didn't want to speak to anybody. Just close my eyes and sit down. I didn't break down. Because what happened is, immediately after that, a couple of people, now I, as it is, you are destroyed and devastated. Two of my brothers with me, Sundaram Bhajan Group, call me for comfort. Can you believe this? I myself am down. Two people call me, and for some strange reason, they believe that I am a very composed person, which I am not. But they call me for comfort. But at that point of time, brother, something very strange happened. In fact, I had to travel that day on official work also. It was Sunday. I had to just catch a flight to Hyderabad. So it was a few hours before that the news had come in. These brothers called me and they wanted to discuss. They said they were feeling very disturbed. They wanted to speak to me. And at that point of time, brother, somehow I felt a particular idea came into my mind. I feel Swami transmitted this idea into my mind. I felt, you know, there was a lot of turmoil, confusion at that point of time. I mean, quite naturally. So I felt that we keep on saying, Swami, we love you, Swami, we love you, Swami, we love you, Swami. I thought it is now the opportunity, or it is now the time to slightly change and say, Swami, we trust you, Swami. Because very easy to say, Swami, I love you, Swami, because Swami is very lovable. I mean, forget the fact He is God. As a person, Swami is very lovable, the things He's done for us. But then somehow I felt that we should say, Swami, I trust you, Swami. For some reason you're doing this. Okay, and you're confused by so many things. The whole world, media, everybody's talking of lots of things. You are confused. And I said, no, at this point of time, I felt I should say, Swami, I trust you, Swami. That is the first idea which came into my mind, brother. Second idea which came into my mind is, somehow I felt, suddenly for some strange reason, I was reminded about something which Swami told us in Trey. I remember one Swami told us in Trey that, you know the story, Swami narrated a story from the Mahabharata, where I believe, you know, the children of the Pandavas, who were called the Upa Pandavas, when they were murdered by Ashwatthama, I believe, if my understanding of Mahabharata is right, naturally the entire family was grieved and they were crying and all that. I believe that when an entire group of Pandavas were crying, somebody noticed that in the corner Krishna was also sitting and crying. Swami told us, isn't he? And then suddenly everybody was surprised, and I believe Yudhishthira, the eldest of the Pandavas, walked towards Krishna and said, Krishna, it is okay if we cry because we are after all human, but you are the Lord who is beyond Maya. How can you cry? And I believe Krishna said that, no, 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 I am not crying because people died. I am crying because I taught this fellow Arjuna the entire Bhagavad Gita, and there I taught him all this, but it's very clear he's crying now. It's very clear that he has not even learnt the message which I have tried to teach him. So all my effort has gone in vain. I believe that's why Krishna cried. I remember, and then Swami narrated this episode. It was very, very interesting. For some strange reason, brother, that came into my mind at that point of time, in that hour. I'm telling you what happened exactly in that first half an hour, because it's crystal, it's etched in the mind. Some strange reason that episode comes to my mind, and somehow I felt, okay, maybe now, me. I'm not saying that everybody should respond this way. I'm not saying this is the ideal way to respond. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to make a honest recollection, as honest a recollection as possible of what I went through in that first 1 hour. This thought came into my mind. I said, no, Swami, I will not cry, because now I'm going to show the entire world that you have taught us this. That you have taught us that you're not just the body. If I cry, then what? It is like I have not understood that you are God, Swami. Okay, so that were the two things which came. Now that sustained me for the first 1 hour, and I had to take a flight. Honestly, I'll tell you. One more thing which came into my mind is, I said, no, I'm never coming to Parthi, and then I don't want to see anything more. Because I said, Parthi to me in my mind should be the place where Swami walked around, joked with us, etc. Fortunately for me, I'll confess, I had a very strong alibi, which was my official work. Okay? So I had to go, so I never came. I was very clear in my mind about that one thing. So it was, you know, a dichotomy. One side telling me to be more mature and accept the situation and trust in Swami. One side was, didn't want to face the situation. I was taking a flight, I was in the airport. In the airport, naturally you met lots of people who were going to Parthi, and I was trying to avoid them, because they will naturally discuss this topic. The TVs were all blaring this, I was trying to run away from a TV. I was trying to avoid the entire situation. And finally somehow I got away from people, got away from TVs and reached, I was staying in a hotel in Hyderabad at that point of time. I remember I did not switch on the TV, because I did not want to see this. I did not want to see the sight. Okay? But Swami had different plans. You know what happened? Next day in the morning the newspaper came. I picked up the newspaper with my eyes closed, because I knew what the headlines would be. And then I just folded it and kept it aside. I didn't want to see it. I went for my first day of work. I was supposed to do a training program there. And then I came back. But you know, brother, something very interesting happened. When I came back in the evening, Swami had other plans for me. The housekeeping people in the hotel, I had actually avoided the newspaper putting in the corner. They had nicely spread out that newspaper and put it in a, such a position that I had to see it. Now, I didn't have a choice. So, I picked up the newspaper, I looked at that visual which was there, and then I said, Swami, this is not you. This is your body. I don't know why I said this, but I said this. I'm trying to make an honest recollection. Nobody know. I mean, Swami and me know this. I said, sitting in that hotel room, I said, Swami, this is not you. This is your body, Swami. You are God. Okay, you're beyond the body. And then I said, Swami, I trust you, Swami. Throughout the day, my mantra was that only. I kept on trying to say, Swami, I trust you, Swami, I trust you, Swami, I trust you, Swami. I love you is different, but now I think, Swami, it's my responsibility to say, I trust you. And tell the entire world, you might say anything, but then I trust you, Swami. So that was the first period. Second day, third day, I was there about 14, 15 days. And then what I started doing is, every day I would go for a training program. Maybe start thinking I'm mad now. I would actually go to the training hall early in the morning, even before all the participants come. I would go and then dust a chair for Swami, one of the extra chairs. And then I would not put a handkerchief, because then people would notice. But then I would imagine that now that Swami is free from all his official work, I would believe that Swami is coming with me for training. And then Swami is sitting with me and then watching the entire training. I would even imagine that at the end of the day, you know, as part of your training, you do those activities where people get prizes. I would even imagine that in his usual typical style, no? Swami is calling and telling me, give these people clothes, give me these people. And I argue with Swami saying, Swami, what is this? This is not your cycle and thal. I can't give them white dress. But I would actually imagine that Swami is accompanying me all throughout. So that's how that entire first period. But at the end of the day, if in hindsight, was it difficult? Yes. Does it continue to be difficult? Yes. But for me, the biggest, how I survived that period were these three things, brother. First is, somehow, I got a prompting that I should start saying, Swami, I trust you. Second thing, I got a prompting where suddenly Swami reminded me about that episode of Krishna crying. And I felt that, no, we should not be that way. Swami has taught us so much, so we should get up and say, yes. Okay, I'm feeling bad inside, but yes, I have learned my Swami is God, so I'm not going to just cry like that. I'm not trying to infer that people who cried are not. In fact, I also started doubting my own devotion. I still doubt. I wondered whether I didn't cry because I don't love my Swami dearly enough. But then maybe that is my or my path or whatever Swami has destined for me or whatever Swami has decided for me. I said, Swami, I will trust you and I will not cry that way because I will show that I have learned these lessons from you. So I will stand up proud and say, what? Swami is nowhere. Swami is here only. So that was the thing. But in hindsight, now looking back also, each time you come here, it's like I remember of what Ramakrishna said when he came to Vrindavan. I believe he said, Krishna, the cows are still there. The sunset is still there. The dust is still there. But Krishna only, you are not there. So that thought does come, brother. Very difficult because I still remember Brahmananda Panda, the person who's written a book. This beautiful chapter there where he says, I believe his guru told him that you will see the most beautiful form in the world. Thing all said and done. Who can get over the desire to see that beautiful form? But that's that. That takes over once in a while. I mean, takes over a lot of times. But then I try and reconcile to the fact that I should try and live Swami's message now and establish that connect. And then I was later on, when I got more composed, I was reminded of the fact of what Swami told me in 3. Slowly, Swami is teaching you to look for Swami within. And like a very good teacher, Swami had started it a long, 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 long time ago.
Swami has been preparing each one of us. If you look at the stories of different people, how they passed through this phase, I think for everyone it was devastating. But as they began to reconcile with it, you know, all those memories come back about how Swami was preparing you for this event actually. And how Swami was constantly trying to ensure that you begin to see him inside. You begin to see him as not the body. I mean, if you look at the way Swami was, you know, the simple thing that Swami was saying, I am with you, in you, around you. We never really bothered to think about it. When he always said that I'm around you, above you, below you, with you, beside you. I mean, obviously it was not the physical form.
Absolutely.
It was that Swami, and that Swami always is there. But yes, the form is so beautiful.
So somehow you keep saying that, Swami, whenever you come back, you keep coming. Who wants moksha? I believe there's a special category of devotees called Ishwarakotis. I believe they are free souls. Ramakrishna used to talk about this. I believe that they are people who come every time the Lord comes to be his companions. So I'm wondering whether there's some formula to become that so that you can keep coming every time he comes, in whatever form he comes. But Swami, this form is very beautiful, Swami. Very difficult. Once in a while I doubt whether I'm doing this because I'm really devoted or maybe I'm not devoted enough. But one part of me tells me, no, Swami has taught you certain things and you try and leave.
I think the whole years that you spent in Bhagwan's institution was all the time preparing ground for you to perhaps take this.
Especially, yeah. Like I said, Antaranga Sai. So maybe that was my path.
He's given all those experiences for us. We have had this direct experience with his physical form, which has reinforced the value of faith and reinforced the value of the omnipresence. So now he wants us to live with that feeling, and as you mentioned, work towards, as he mentioned to Satyajit on one occasion, you know, his body has become weak. Swami once said, I have traveled so much, I have done so much, this body has become weak, what can I do?
He said, Palli Palli Tirigenada or something like that. Tirigenada, I have gone to this village after village. Yes, absolutely.
So it is now for us to take his message. Perhaps the next time you are here, you should share with us more about your experience of putting these teachings of Swami in your corporate life. But I think that will be another whole chapter by itself, where you have tried to see the principles of management that you have seen Bhagwan practice and seen and learnt under Bhagwan's guidance through his teachers in the hostel, in the university, and how you are able to perhaps, to whatever extent you can, see them in action in your corporate life, in your social life, in your personal life. I think that will be another very beautiful thing to talk about. So maybe when you are here next time, we will talk about that, because it's almost been nearly 1.5 hours here. So I will not tax you more. Thank you so much for coming to the studio. It was an absolute wonderful satsang, recalling those moments, because every moment is so energizing.
True, brother. Energizing more for me. Thanks for the opportunity to relive all this. And grateful to Swami. Indebted always for this opportunity.
Thank you so much. Sai Ram.
Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram and welcome back. That was the concluding part of the Fleeting Moments interview with Brother Balram Chandar, an alumnus of the Sai University. We hope you will send us your feedback to this conversation by email at listener@radiosai.org. Now, before I hand you over to Brother Raghu, I request you to reflect on the affirmation to make our hearts sanctuaries of God's love and light, and remember that God is a silent invigilator watching over us, and God is waiting for each of us to finally transform ourselves into bundles of positive energy. We have the power to spread joy, love, understanding and compassion by our thoughts, our words and our actions. Let nothing hold us back from living out our divine destinies. As I leave you with that thought, it's time for me to offer morning glory at Bhagwan's lotus feet. So dear listeners, thank you for your company. I hope the rest of your day continues to be filled with Bhagwan's presence and love and protection. Till then, till we meet next week, or maybe in a few weeks' time, please be well, keep seeking, and do whatever it takes to stay positive and inspired. Sai Ram.